And good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's exciting installment of Drink with Rick, the live stream where we open up and taste and review a bottle of wine I've never tried before, or allegedly never tried before, because sometimes I have tasted a few of them in the store, and I liked them, so I'd open one up when I got home and try it out for real and see if it's every bit as good as the tasting was. You know, the thing is about wine tastings, like in a store somewhere, it seems like sometimes it always seems to taste better in the store than when you get at home. Not always, but oftentimes you'll go to the supermarket and they'll open up a bottle of wine and then you'll buy one and you'll bring it home and it's like, man, it doesn't seem as good as it was in the store. Maybe it's psychological. Maybe it's just me. But I like to open the bottle up and try it out for real and give it a really good taste test, more than just the little bit that they give you in the little tiny glass in the supermarket. I like to go ahead and fill up the glass and really try it. So here we are. Tonight we're going to taste the, this is a Jeff Rundquist wine. This is a 1448, and I actually have some images of it. There we go. This is a 2016 1448, 2016 vintage. And this is a very interesting wine. This is a California red table wine. This is a very interesting wine. I'll read this since you can't really see it from the very well from this shot, but it says 1448, the altitude of our small family winery in the foothills of California's Sierra Nevada mountains. An assembly of wines from throughout California that delivers fruit-forward flavors with a rich texture sure to delight every palate. And this is a Jeff Rundquist wine, 13.8% alcohol by volume. And as I've mentioned so many times on the wine stream, that that's not always accurate. Sometimes it's considerably more than that. And I think some of it has to do with the way it's all calculated, but oftentimes it's more than what they say it is. This does have a nice deep pit to it, which means that it is meant to stay on the shelf for a little while, and you can keep it for a while. Let's see who's in the chat with us first before we get started. Rob's in the chat with us. Hi, Rob. Good to see you. And, you know, tonight is also a special celebration. We're going to open this wine, and we're going to celebrate my sister Gina's birthday. Tonight is, and I have been promoting this in the last few wine streams, but tonight it just happens to be my sister Gina's birthday. I'm not going to tell her age. She's younger than I am, fortunately for her, because I don't think anybody wants to be as old as I am right now. I wanted to stop my age progression a few years ago, but there's no stopping life, you know. There's no stopping that sort of thing. It's just part of life. But anyway, her birthday is on the 25th of May, and she was born a couple of years after I was. She is my younger sister. There were six of us in our family, six kids. I had five siblings, one who passed away in 2006, but there are five of us now. But they're all younger than me. I'm the eldest, and Gina is second. She's second down the line from me. A couple of interesting stories about that, about when we were growing up, but we'll share that later on. Hopefully, Gina will be joining us this evening. I know that she's been pretty busy working on some other things. She has some other things going on, but hopefully she'll be able to join us this evening and celebrate her birthday right along with us. But you know what? If she's not here, that's okay too. because we're just here to have a good time and relax, kick back, and just enjoy the moment on a Saturday night. Everybody just drinking together and spending some time together. I am going to open this bottle of wine momentarily. Now, normally, what I would do is I would have my trusty uncorker, I should say. And I love this thing. It's amazing. But tonight, this bottle of wine happens to be a twist cap. Now, there are those who don't really care much for the twist cap, and they think, well, that signifies a cheap bottle of wine. That's not true. There are some fairly expensive wines that use this kind of cap as well. And it's tradition to have a cork in there, and there's a lot to be said for the cork, but the screw-on cap, apparently there is something to be said for that as well. There are arguments for that. So, as long as the wine is good, as long as it's a good bottle of wine, it's really not that important at the end of the day. And I'll get more into that later as we go on. And as I drink down into the bottle, I haven't had any yet. So, and what we're having along with it tonight, actually this wine is supposed to go good with steak, but I don't have a steak here, but what I do have is I do have some crackers to keep my palate clear a little bit, some turkey pepperoni, as I like turkey pepperoni, and some cheese. And this cheese is just kind of a regular Sargento brand medium cheddar, because that was just whatever I pulled out of the fridge when I came up here. And it's just really to supplement the wine a little bit. Well, we're going to go ahead and try out this wine. Before I get started, I wanted to say that I went down to a wine store, our local wine store here in Charlotte, and that's where I found this bottle. They were doing a wine tasting. Now, fortunately, they give you a little bit more wine in the glass than they do at the supermarket usually. So you get a little bit better idea of what the wine tastes like. I will have to say that I was impressed with what I experienced there with the slight tasting. And I'm really eager to open this up and try it out for real, to see what it really tastes like as you get down into the bottle. This wine is a little different as a red blend, because it's sort of a mishmash, from what I understand from reading up on it. It's a little bit of a mishmash of all the leftover wines that they had that they brewed, now brewed, that they a bottle, and I have beer on my mind for some reason, but they take a combination, and I've said but many times before, I'm not one, I don't automatically subscribe to red blends. There are a few that I do like. There are many, many red blends that I don't like. It depends on the blend. Some of the wineries, they do it right. They have just the right blend, and then others, they just kind of throw stuff together, and it's awful. And then there's everything in between. But this one kind of caught my fancy, because it's an interesting blend. It has some complex aromas in it from what I tasted, and it's a 43% petite Verdot, a 35% petite Syrah. I think there's a little bit of Zinfandel in it, and I think there are a couple of other wines in there too, including a little bit of a Tempranillo and a Malbec. It's a very interesting combination. So we're going to try this out. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and try this out now, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it as we go along. So without further ado, that was easy, wasn't it? That's one of the nice things about this. It's, you know, some wines, when you try to get them uncorked, like last week on the wine stream, I uncorked the Mistral wine, and it didn't have the standard seal, dock stamp, that sort of thing on it. What it had on it was a wax seal. And I still have the bits of wax from where I was trying to peel that off with my thumbs last week. And then I found out that you didn't have to do that. You could just pop the corkscrew in and it just comes right out, which actually is a lot easier than what I was doing. So if you want a little laugh, you can go back and look at last week's wine stream where I opened that up, because it took me a couple of minutes going through it with my thumb. But anyway, this is a lot easier than that. It's, like I said, there are different schools of thought on these, but I'm okay with it. I wasn't at first, but I'm okay with it now. And we're going to pour this into my Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurant glass. This is a genuine crystal glass from Cooper's Hawk Winery. And we're going to a little pour here, and I'm going to just put a little bit in the glass for starters, and swirl it around, give it a good swirl. And while I'm doing that, Bill has joined us in the chat. Hi, Bill. Good to see you. Say hi. Hope you're drinking something, and if you're not, feel free to do so and join us. I'm giving this a good swirl, and I'm going to hold it up to the lights. I don't know if you can see it with everything behind me, just what we've got here for legs, but see if we get some tears out of this. And they're coming. Takes a minute or so. Now, as you know, the warmer the wine is, and sometimes you can do that by holding the glass in your hands and give it a good swirl around, the better effect you get with the tears. I learned this from from another wine connoisseur. And it looks like, it has some legs to it. It does. It's not too bad. And good taste. Oh, yeah. This is, as I said before, this is kind of a complex wine. And I can smell it in the... I can smell it in the the aroma. And I can get a little blackberry, raspberry, Oh yeah, a little bit of vanilla, and there are a few fruits in here. Just a little oaky. Yeah, it's smooth. It is definitely, it's a full-bodied wine. It has very nice color to it. It really does. It's somewhat dark, but it has a nice color to it. It is full-bodied. And it is, let me see, let me look up some information on the price on this. Because I paid about $15 for this. It was $14.99 that I paid for this bottle at Wine Store. And I think it's going on the internet from between $15 and $20 a bottle. That sounds about right. So it's not too bad. So that's actually, I think it's worth the money just for that. I really like the, I'll pour some more of this. I'm going to pour, since we've already done the tears, I'll go ahead and spill a little bit there. Oh yeah, I like this. It's a nice wine. It is, as I was saying, it is full bodied. It's, I know it tastes a little, cherry in there too. And I love cherry. A little bit of like black cherry in there. Anyway, this is, where was it going with this? It says $15 a bottle, and in some places I've seen it about $20, not more than that. I think Total Wine has it. I think. I haven't seen it there, but I think I've seen it online at Total Wine. So if you have a Total Wine in your area, because I know that Wine Store is pretty much in this area, in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. But you know what I found out? If you're not in the area and you don't have access to a Wine Store, you can actually order it online. Let me get their website up here. I don't have it up here on the system, but let's see, it would be winestore-online.com. That's the URL, winestore-online.com. They will ship to certain states, and I know this because I found this out this past week because I don't want to spoil the surprise. It is my sister's birthday, by the way, and she probably has a good idea already what I sent her for her birthday. It was supposed to arrive yesterday, and they assured me that it would because I sent it to FedEx Ground, and I wasn't sure that they would because she's all the way on the West Coast and I'm here on the East Coast, and I had my doubts about that. I was thinking, you know, I know shipping, so I've done a bit of it myself in the past. Not for wine, but they said that it would probably get there by Friday. So I said, okay, I'll go ahead and ship it. I don't think she got it in time, but I hope she did. If she did, anyway, the thing is, they do ship to some states, not all states, because there are some states that do not allow you to transport or ship wine. Across the state or between states. So there are some restrictions on that. But if you're in a state that allows wine to be shipped to you, allows you to order wine online and have it shipped to you, then you're good. They should be able to get it to you. And they're pretty good. The prices are great. The prices are excellent. And their shipping's actually pretty reasonable. I was surprised. I thought it would cost more to ship, what I shipped, but it was actually very, very reasonable. I was impressed. And here's to the folks at the Wine Store who really, that's the other thing. They really took care of me. They took care of me, and then they called me right back and made sure everything was in place. They were very, very good. And this is not a, don't get me wrong, this is not a commercial for Wine Store. I'm just saying that that's where I like to go, and I've been really impressed. They've been really, really, Matt and the staff there have been really, really good to me, and I really appreciate that. Here's to you guys at Wine Store. Oh yeah, that's good. I'm gonna have some more of this, and you know what? You may want to stick around for this whole thing because I generally don't. I've done it twice. I generally don't go through a whole bottle, but we might be surprised. This wine is so good, I might. That could just happen tonight. I really like this wine. I should have sent her that, but I didn't know about it at the time. Really, anyway. So I hope everyone had a great week. Hope everyone's having a great Memorial Day weekend. I want to say that this is this is really kind of a somber, not celebration, but observance of our armed forces, of the people that served our country and died for our country. You know, Memorial Day. I mean, everybody's going to be going out and having cookouts. Yeah, we're going to do that too. We're going to have a cookout. And we're going to, you know, party a little bit. And everybody has already started. Some of our neighbors have already started. But this is really a time for reflection and to really look back and show our appreciation for those who died for our country, those who made the ultimate sacrifice, as they say, for the freedoms that we enjoy here in this great country. And I never served in the armed forces. My dad did. My dad served in the Navy. He did a couple of years in the Navy. And interesting story about my dad, because he, you know, even though it was peacetime when he was serving, though he was witness to an accident there that happened, a major accident at the time that really affected him on the ship that he was on. And, you know, even in peacetime, you just never know. Things happen. And, you know, these people who went into the military and gave the ultimate sacrifice to help protect our country and to help preserve our way of life. I think they've more than earned this day, you know, a Memorial Day, the day coming up on Monday. So I would say to everyone that, you know, enjoy, you definitely want to enjoy what you have. It was hard earned. It was hard earned by those who cannot share it with us now. We're no longer here to share it and to enjoy it as well. But, and we can enjoy it for them in their honor, but not forget that this day was really meant for them, to sit back and reflect and to honor them and to thank them for what they gave and what they sacrificed for our country. So here's to all of our, all of those in our armed forces who did make the ultimate sacrifice. And here's also to those who are serving now, wherever they are, around the world. And here's to all of those who have served and who are back home, the vets, who definitely need and deserve and have earned the right to be taken care of as they should. You know, I mean, with some of them come back not whole, some of them come back maybe whole in body, but not in mind or spirit. And we have to remember them as well and to take care of them. Remember that they took care of us. They served for us and they took care of us. And now it's time to take care of them. So here's to all of you serving the armed forces and all of the vets, and especially to all of our service men and women who made that sacrifice and who could not be with us now. I hope everyone has a great Memorial Day. And of course, as I mentioned before, it is my sister's birthday. And I wanted to throw up some pictures of us growing up and that sort of thing. But I wasn't sure how she was going to feel about this because I know it all goes public, and I don't know how public she wants to make all of her baby pictures and that sort of thing. So I sort of kept that low key and decided not to do that. And if she says it's okay, then maybe in the future when I'll put them all up there. But I think for now it's probably prudent not to go through that and just kind of say happy birthday to my sister Gina. And once again, here is to you, Gina, wherever you are. And I hope you can join us later. But if you can't, even so, maybe you can watch afterwards. A toast to you. Happy birthday to my sister. And you know what? I could sing the happy birthday song. You know, I haven't done the toast. To Gina. We could do the happy birthday song, considering the fact that it is public domain. But I don't think, I think everybody watching the stream now will turn it off quickly if I start singing. So I'm not going to do that. I'll spare you that torture and not sing. But what I will do instead is have some more wine. Now, once again, as I mentioned, I have a few treats here for me. I have this cheddar cheese. I don't know that goes good with cheddar, but just to clear the palate. It's all right. Interesting. Depends on the cheese. Now, that's cheddar. That's a medium cheddar, so it's okay. There are some cheeses I would not pair this with. I don't know if it would go good with a cheese like a Gruyere or something like that. Gruyere. It might go okay with a mozzarella or a provolone or something, or maybe a Monterey Jack or something. But I think this definitely goes good with steak. In fact, what I really should do is cork this bottle right now and save the rest of it for Monday while I'll be doing some grilling, some serious grilling. But it's a good pass. I only got one bottle of this. But it's okay. I have more wine in the back that I have not opened. As a matter of fact, I was going to open this bottle of Frico wine. This is an Italian wine back here. And I think I have an image of this. Where is it here? It is. I have one right here. No, that's not it. That's a photo of a ferret. I'm not going to show that. I showed that last week. I'm not going to show that again this week. There we go. There's the Frico wine. This is a 2016 wine. It's Italian wine from Italy. And I've been wanting to open this one up because I've heard some good things about it. And I took a little tiny taste of it and I thought, well, this is pretty interesting. I think I'll get this. And I've really been wanting to open it, but I've been wanting to save it for the right time, the right wine stream to do that. And it seems like every time I'm getting ready to say, oh, you know what, I think I'll open this bottle, something else comes along, like this 1448. When this bottle came up, in fact, I was thinking about opening that one up tonight. And then when I went down to the wine store and saw and tried this wine, I said, "No, I think I have to do this one instead. This we've got to do this one first. That one can wait a little bit." Interesting story about the name Frico. One of the things that caught my eye on it, that caught my eye with the name, it instantly reminded me. It took me back to my high school days. Which is interesting because when I was in middle school, I went to a high school in Oviedo High, And we actually, before high school, I think it was our last year of middle school to high school, I think I was there too. And we were on double sessions with them because they were building a new school. They were building Lake Howell High School at the time, which is where I went, where I graduated from in 1978, which dates me, doesn't it? That tells you how old I am. So when I was in middle school to high school, I was kind of a geeky kid. I was really a geeky kid. So that I wore these really big geeky glasses. And, you know, I got made fun of that because back then it wasn't cool. Being a nerd, I was a nerd when being a nerd wasn't cool at all. You know, the whole pencil neck geek thing and all that sort of thing. You know, the Freddie Blassie song, if you've ever heard it. And Bill, you've probably heard it. If you're still there in the chat, you probably remember the Freddie Blassie tune, Pencil Neck Geek. But I was a geeky guy, and I got made fun of a lot in the early days of my middle school, my early days of high school, and I had a reputation. They called me Freako. That was my nickname, Freako, which I hated. I really despised that. I really hated it because it was the tone in which it was taken. It was very, very condescending. Anyway, I outgrew that. I outgrew that. I showed them, but tell me. No, I... my last year of high school, we shined. We did some things. We did some products projects that our classmates took notice of and said, "Hey, you know, they developed a little more respect for us for some of the things that we were able to accomplish in school. Positive stuff." And by the time I graduated, I couldn't say I was popular, but I had a much better reputation. I wasn't known for being Freako anymore. For a while, they called me Sequoia, and they shortened it to Tree. That's another long story. But, it hurt a bit, but I grew up. But the last year of high school, I was over it, and it was all cool. And the thing that I realized, and that's something that you know, I know most everyone here should be of legal drinking age anyway, but it's something to note that, and this is something that I've always told my kids, even though they didn't really experience that problem for the most part that I had. With being ostracized so much when I was a kid, I told them that the funny thing about high school is that it seems like, you know, when you're going through that, it seems like that's the most important thing in the world, how you look to your peers and being liked by your peers, and if you're being looked down upon by your peers, that peer pressure. When you're that age, that's the most important thing in the world. That is your world. And you think that's going to be forever. But it's not. The truth is that the moment that you graduate, the moment that you throw that cap in the air, you've graduated and you walk off the school grounds, nobody cares anymore. It's all over. It's done. There's no more, you know... They've moved on. Everybody's moved on. Everybody forgets all that stuff. It's not, none of it's important anymore. So if you ever feel like you're in school and you feel bullied or you feel ostracized, you feel like you're not popular or anything like that, it's not important. It seems important because you're right there in the middle of everything with all of your peers and everybody who knows you, but you sort of have to look ahead of that. Yeah, you sort of have to look ahead and realize that there's more to life than that. And that's just sort of an incubation place, an incubation period where you just sort of, you know, you're just sort of in that moment. It's not for the rest of your life. And as soon as you graduate from school and move on, none of that stuff that happened in school is going to matter anymore. None of that. I mean, people are going to forget how nerdy you were. They're going to forget whatever, you know, if you were how should I put this? it's hard to say things like say things nowadays that aren't going to be perceived the wrong way. So I've got to be careful what I say. You know, if you are somebody who was the wallflower, somebody who was not the most attractive person in school, or was not the jock, who was not the best, you know, the popular person in school, all that stuff becomes meaningless the moment that you leave high school. It doesn't matter anymore. Nobody cares. That whole culture is gone forever. It's just it's nonsense. It was nonsense to begin with, but because you were there in the thick of it, it seemed so real. I don't know if any of that really makes any sense, but I the fact is that I look back on my high school days and I think of how silly the whole thing was, how silly all of it was. And I don't harbor any ill will towards anybody who, you know, made fun of me or put me down or ostracized. I don't care. I really don't care because it's not important. None of that means anything. It really doesn't. So, you know what? There are people in high school that I wasn't particularly friends with then, or that gave me a hard time then, that have come back later and said, "Hey, Rick, you know, we're friends now. You know, it's fine. We're friends now, and you know, we talk back and forth. We're friends on Facebook, that kind of thing, and it's all good. It's all good. I mean, none of that stuff way back then matters. So if you're going through that sort of thing now, peer pressure, you know, through high school or grade school, whatever it is, I'm talking to the kids if they're awake, and hopefully they're all in bed. But something to tell your kids, it's not important. It really isn't. It's all going to pass. And life goes on. You become adults. Everybody grows up, more or less. And, you know, and gets over it. So anyway, I went on a rant there, didn't I? Well, there's a reason I was bringing that up. Now I was going somewhere with that. And it's because my sister, Gina, whose birthday it is, and I'm going to talk a little bit about her and hope she doesn't mind, but it's all good. It's all good stuff because I love my sister and she's very smart. She's very bright. She's talented. She has accomplished a lot with her life, and I've followed some of that. And even though we're pretty much a whole continent apart, she's on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. But she has done a lot with her life and a lot of good things, and I'm proud of her. I'm quite proud of where she is. But and there's no but now because I am. Let me throw this up again, Gina. If you're joining us, or if you're joining us later, happy birthday. Here's one more to you. And this is really kind of a celebration of Gina. And the reason I brought up what I brought up before about grade school is because I had a pretty tough time when I was a kid. And being the eldest, I was 8 or 9 years old. I don't really remember because a lot of my earlier years are just kind of a blur now anyway. You get older, a lot of stuff becomes sort of a blur. There's a lot of stuff people remind me of that that I'm like, oh, I don't remember that. I don't remember any of that. But, you know, I was kind of a naive kid back then, too. I mean, I didn't know a lot. I was doing with it. I didn't know really a whole lot about a life, probably. I walked around kind of in my own little world, I guess, in a way. But when I was a kid and I started having trouble with my eyesight, because I am very nearsighted, as you can tell, my glasses are pretty thick, I had nobody really realized at first just how bad my eyesight was, and I really didn't understand what was going on. I was just going, you know, to school every day, and I just understood that was kind of getting a little bit hard to see the blackboard up front, and I didn't really understand why or any of that. I didn't know if that was normal or abnormal or what. I just, you know, I didn't know. Well, and it was a little gradual at first. And I don't remember a whole lot about that. I just remember having trouble seeing the board sometimes. Well, when I was in fourth grade, that's when I really started having trouble with it, to the point where the teacher back then, I went to Overton Elementary School in Salisbury, North Carolina. This happened in Salisbury. And the teacher back then, the fourth grade teacher, she was not very, I don't think she understood what was going on either, but she was not very forgiving about it either. She was one of those tough teachers. And she gave me a difficult time because I had trouble seeing the board. And she would, I do remember her putting math problems on the board, things like that, and having math tests and things. And because I couldn't see the board, I couldn't really write down stuff on my paper correctly because I couldn't see what was going on very well. And I would get a lot of the answers wrong because I didn't write things down correctly to begin with. And instead of giving me support or checking to see, hey, you know, maybe he's got a problem, she gave me a hard time. She really chastised me a lot about it, to the point where I started to withdraw a little bit. And I couldn't see the board. I couldn't see anything that was going on at that point. So I just started drifting off because I didn't know what was going on anymore. And I'd be drifting off and looking out the window or looking out anywhere else because I really couldn't see that well. And the teacher just made things worse because what she would do is she would take the it was a fourth grade or fifth grade. I don't remember now. It's a blur. Fourth or fifth grade. Anyway, she started making fun of me in the classroom in front of all the students. And if I would drift off or seemingly drift off because I couldn't really see what was going on, she would have the whole class get up and sing Beautiful Dreamer to me, saying that I was daydreaming in class. She'd call me beautiful and have the whole class sing Beautiful Dreamer. I guess as a way to kind of shame me into paying attention and getting back to work on the class studies. And it was kind of traumatic for me as a kid because she did that and kind of turned the whole class against me. And it started a little bit of bullying there in that sense. And it made me very angry. It made me very withdrawn. I just withdrew even more from the class. It had the opposite effect, I guess, of what she was trying to achieve, because it just made me even more withdrawn. And I remember going home distraught and, you know, crying and thinking the whole world hated me. And I couldn't really understand why, because it wasn't so much that I was daydreaming. I couldn't, my eyesight was getting so bad that I couldn't pay attention. I really didn't know was, you know, a lot of what was going on there. So finally, my parents figured it out. They sent me to somebody tipped them off and said, "Hey, you know what? I think he has trouble seeing." So they took me to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor said, "Yeah, his eyesight's pretty bad. He needs glasses." So once I got glasses, though, it was better. I was able to go back to school. And I think the next year I had a different teacher and things got better. But the damage had already been done. The damage had already been done. And of course, it was actually worse in a way, because now I was wearing these thick, thick black glasses. And that's where it really got fun. In the sense that people made fun of you, called you four eyes and that sort of thing. The bully got worse in many ways. And when we moved to Florida, it didn't get much better. It was the same sort of thing, because we were in the South, and that, you know, the kids in the South those days, it could be pretty tough. They could be pretty brutal to other kids. And that was kind of tough for me. And I withdrew a lot. I withdrew a lot from people for that. But I had to really fight my way to out of that. It took a long time, but I managed to do it. So by the time I left high school, it was just like, meh, I'm glad I'm done with that. Move on. That's really where I was going from with that in the beginning. And the reason I bring this up is because it's kind of a tale of two siblings. It's a tale of two siblings. My sister Gina, I always admired her, my younger sister, because she had – her eyesight wasn't that great either, and I think she wound up wearing glasses at some point as well. But she – it was kind of – it was a lot different with her. For some reason, she was able to make friends, and I know she worked kind of hard at it, but she became rather popular. I saw her as the rather popular person in school and in high school and at church and everywhere else. She was very popular, and she was kind of part of that in crowd. So here she had the older brother who was sort of the outcast, and here she was. One of the popular ones, part of the, well, at least in my eyes, she was popular and part of the in crowd, and everybody loved her, and liked her. And, there's a lot of that. I didn't really understand a lot of that at the time. And it just made me more withdrawn in some ways. And then I tried various ways to sort of stand out and impress people, but it always seemed to backfire because I already had that reputation, and I didn't know how to do it. I did not have the cultural, social finesse to be able to talk with people. I didn't really know how to talk to people. I didn't know how to present myself to people. So it came across as awkward. I was socially awkward, and it just kind of made things worse in a lot of ways. But I always admired my sister in the sense that, in some ways, I was a little envious of her, that how she was able to do that and I couldn't. But in more ways, I was inspired by her, and I always admired her for her ability to be able to make friends and to go out, and she seemed to have the social graces, and she was articulate, and she knew how to do that. And it was something that I always sort of wished that I could have. Now I'm pretty much bearing my soul out here, but I'm doing that on her birthday out of love, because Once again, it's part of my admiration for my sister Gina. I've always looked up to her, even though I was the older brother. I always looked up to her, the younger sister. And even so, you know, she moved to California, went to college, and got married, had kids, and I saw their family life, and I said to myself, that's something that I aspire to. But it's something that I always admired about her, and it's one of the things that gave me inspiration to say, you know what, if my sister can do that, I can do that too. And I did. I did. I have a beautiful wife. I have two great kids. I have a great career. I've moved on, moved up. I have friends. I'm not out to win a popularity contest by any means, but it's not like it was when I was a kid. But I feel that I owe a lot of my success in a way to the example that my sister set for me. And I just want to say that, Gina, I love you and I appreciate you, and happy birthday, because I think that you're pretty awesome. And I'm going to have some more wine because it's good. This wine is very good. And Gina has joined us in the chat. Oh, great, Gina. And in case you missed it, I want to say happy birthday, and here's to you again, now that you're here. You know, there's some other things I wanted to talk about, too. Gina says, thanks, Rick. Oh, thanks, Rick, and you're welcome. You're quite welcome. I hope I didn't come across as too sappy or too sentimental. I really didn't, but... yeah, I'm kind of one of those guys who wears his heart on his sleeve, my wife says I'm a pretty sappy guy. But that's just me. I'm the kind of person I like to, I'm one of those huggers. I like to run and just hug people, shake their hands, hi, how you doing, that kind of thing. And it's something that's hard to do these days, because in this politically correct society, you can't just go up and hug people. And I don't do that. I'm not that, I know where the boundaries are. But Gina says, just moved out of my house. Much appreciate huggers. And I hope everything's going well for you, Gina. I know that that you've had a long month there with the move and everything like that. I hope you get settled into your new place shortly. And by the way, were you able to get the package I sent you in time? I don't know if I did track it again late this afternoon, and it said it was in Arcadia, but I don't know if it got to you. Probably didn't. It's being a Saturday and all, but the last I saw it wasn't going to get there till Tuesday. Even though they told me that it was going to get there in time, and I had my doubts because I was thinking, they sent it FedEx Ground and they couldn't send it. There was no way they could send it any faster. I tried, but there was no way they could send it any faster. So FedEx Ground was really all I had to work with, and I would have sent it out sooner, but it was a matter of coordinating and getting a hold of you and making sure that I could get this shipped out, because I wasn't sure that they could ship it to your state, but they could, and they did, and they really went to bat for me to do it too. I really appreciate them doing that. They did a great job doing it. Anyway, I hope you're having a great birthday. And I'm not going to ask how old you are. If you want to volunteer, that's okay, but you don't have to. I did tell everyone that you are younger than me, which is fortunate for you. No matter how, it's like what she tells me, my wife, she is that she says, you know, no matter how old I am, you're always going to be older than me. And I'm thinking, well, that's nice. That's, she knows how to make a guy feel great, you know? This is good wine, by the way. In case you're coming in late, anyone else coming in late, this is the Jeff Rundquist 1448 Red Blend, and this was recommended to me at Wine Store. This is a 2016 vintage, and it has a combination of Petit Sirah and let's see, what is it? I forgot what all is in it now. I wrote it, and I had it down here somewhere. But it has, yeah, it has a Petit Sirah, it has a Petit Verdot, a little bit of Zinfandel, and then a combination of about three or four other different grapes, other wines, like a Malbec, a Tempranillo, a Boucher. You know, they're like a number of, basically what they did was they took pretty much whatever they had left over and just kind of mixed it all together. But apparently they took some thought into it, because there are a lot of, as I mentioned so many times before, there are a lot of red blends that I don't like, that just give me a headache and that I don't care for. They don't taste very good. But there are a few red blends that I can tell that they put a little bit of forethought into and mix them up well. And this is one that apparently they did. This is a combination that definitely works. And it has, I have in here so far tasted some cherry, some blackberry. I've tasted some tones of vanilla. And it's a little oaky, not bad. A few tannins, not bad. It's good. It's okay. It's full bodied. It's a full bodied red, and it's I would have to say it goes great with steak. And I don't think I'm going to have anything left in the bottle, because I've had over half the bottle already. And but I will say that that is definitely good steak wine, and I think that I will probably pick up another bottle. I don't know if I'm going to pick it up in time for doing grilling on Memorial Day, because I plan to go out there and fire up the grill Memorial Day and do some serious grilling. But I would say that it is a good wine for that. It really is. It's also, I think it's good. You know, I think it's a good kind of romantic date wine. You know, if you're going to have a romantic evening with your significant other by the fireplace or something, I think this is a good maybe after dinner wine too. I think it goes pretty well. It's also an excellent wine for a Saturday night wine stream, which is one reason why I'm doing this tonight and not the Frico wine. And we already went through the whole Frico thing, but it's very good. I like it. I really like this wine, and I do recommend this. I give this one two thumbs up, way up. Not to steal a trademark from anyone else, but it definitely gets my vote. I really, really enjoy this wine. And you know what? This is two winners in a row, because last week, of course, we did the Le Mistral, and I really liked that wine too. In fact, I liked that wine so much, I wanted to make sure, I was concerned that they were going to run out of it over there in the wine store before I had a chance to pick up another bottle. But I did pick up another bottle of that, and I've got it, and I'm saving that one for a very special occasion, whatever it may be. That is definitely a $50 bottle of wine. And it goes for about $45 to $50 a bottle. I got it for about $20, which I thought was a phenomenal deal. I thought it was a fabulous deal for this wine. It's definitely worth it. Definitely, and the one next to it is one that's going to go down there next to the Charles Shaw and everything else at some point, that Grana Paso. That was the one we did a couple weeks before, and if you missed that, you didn't miss much because it was not great. I did not enjoy that wine at all, really. And we had a neighbor over the next day because I couldn't do that whole bottle. We had a neighbor over the next day, and I gave her some to try, and she agreed with me. It was not good. So I don't know if it was just that bottle or if it was just, I don't know. It wasn't that great. Didn't enjoy it. I picked that up at, in fact, I found the card for it. I picked it up at, when we went to Blowing Rock. We went to Blowing Rock a couple of weeks ago. And this was blowingrockwine.com. I think it's called Sunset Vine. And Sharon over there, she was really nice. She recommended that, and she recommended the Brick Mason, which since I've opened this one up, I didn't try either one of these. She just recommended them to me, and bless her heart. I'm sure she liked the wines. I'm sure people up there in Blowing Rock liked these wines. I did not like this wine. The Brick Mason I have not opened up yet. I've thought about it, but I haven't not done it because for two reasons. One, every week I get something else. I find something else that I'd really rather open up more, like this one and like the Le Mistral. And the second reason is because I had such a negative experience with that one, I've been hesitant to open up that bottle. But I don't know. I'm sure it's probably fine wine. I think that's a Napa Valley wine, so it's probably okay. But it's not... This thing, I don't recommend the Grana Paso, to be honest. I mean, it's not my taste. It might be yours. It's not mine. Go back. If you're not sure, if you'd like to try it, go back and look at the wine stream. That was from a couple of weeks ago, and you can look over that wine tasting. This one, though, I can highly recommend. Definitely a good wine, 1448. Gina, I should have sent you a bottle of this one, but I did not know about this one yet. At the time that I sent, I'm spilling some here. At the time I spoiled your surprise, didn't I? Sorry, but I feel you should know anyway. You're going to find out anyway. But... I sent you a couple of nice bottles that I really enjoyed, and I think that you will really enjoy. Let me know. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think of them. There is something that I forgot to put in the package. I'm going to have to send this over separately. I'm not going to show you what it is. A couple of small things, but I picked those up in Blowing Rock, and I was going to send those along with the wine, but I forgot to include them in there, so I'll send those off to you in a separate package. And then we'll tell everybody what it is later. Something else I picked up, and I showed this before while I was in Blowing Rock, was this. This is a wine bar. Yeah, I bought a wine bar. I bought a wine bar. This is Chardonnay. It's a Chardonnay. What this is white chocolate. Supposedly, I haven't opened it up yet. I was actually planning to open it, and in fact, we can do it now because Gina is here. And I was saving this for our May 25th birthday celebration for my sister. Kind of like, you know, I don't have a cake, but hey, I've got a wine bar. That's better than a cake, isn't it? Having a wine bar. This is a Chardonnay. And I have to open this thing up anyway because it doesn't keep forever. It's going to go bad at some point. This is $5.99, $6 for this bar of white chocolate. And it's supposed to taste like Chardonnay wine. And I'm going to read this. Traditional European white chocolate paired with a blend of classic wine flavors that have stood the test of time. This wine bar creates a true synergy between the wine and deep, rich, dark chocolate in both flavor and texture that make this bar slightly sinful. And it's made for Sunset Teas and Hattery. That's where we went. Well, we went there. And it's an interesting place. We've never been to Blowing Rock. It's a very quaint town. I love this town. We go there. We try to go there about once a year or so, whenever we can. And we sometimes we stay the weekend, which is what we did this time, actually. The reason that we did, and if you missed the wine stream from a couple of weeks ago, my son Tommy was interested in, you know, I'm going to throw this up again here too, before I forget. There we go, Gina. Happy birthday. We went up there a couple of weeks ago because my son Tommy, he's going to college now, but he was interested in going up to, Appalachian University up in Boone, and it's a very nice, beautiful campus, wonderful university. And we toured, we got a grand tour. And as a matter of fact, a friend of his, a childhood friend of his, gave us a tour of the entire university, and we were really, really impressed with it. It was really great, really impressed with it, and we stayed there for. Because the next day was Free Comic Book Day. It was also May the 4th, you know, Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you and all that. So we were, it was kind of a twofer there. And Tommy doing his Cube Command podcast with his friend Nick. His friend Nick was with us. And we decided to do some podcasting there. We decided to podcast live from the university, and the folks at the university bookstore were so nice to us. They were just great. They set us up with a nice booth and a nice area. They provided equipment for us because we didn't bring any podcasting equipment with us at the time. And we did an episode of our Free Stuff show there. Tommy and Nick did an episode of his Cube Command podcast. And we just had a great time. It was just a phenomenal time, and it was just a wonderful experience. But while we were there, we toured around Blowing Rock, as we often do whenever we go up there. We love Blowing Rock. The Hattery is, if you've never been there, the shops in Main Street downtown there, they have a lot of nice little quaint shops. They, by the way, they're very big on wines there. They have a couple of wine places, and it is very, very much a wine snob town. And I mean that in not in a derogatory sense at all. I mean that in a complimentary sense. Everybody there is into wine, and they do a lot of wine celebrations. They'll do a lot of wine tastings and things going on over there. And I tell you what, some of the mountain folk, they know how to party. I'll say that. They know how to party. Anyway, they have a lot of culture up there. So they do a lot of wine tastings and a lot of wine celebrations and get-togethers. And they had one the next day, but we couldn't stay. We weren't able to stay for that. We had to be back here in Charlotte by the afternoon, so we missed that. And plus, it was pouring rain then, so it was. I hope they didn't get rained out, but they probably did. It was a little shop down there on the side streets that they had a lot of this tasting going on. And that's where I picked up these two bottles. Now, where I picked this up was the Hattery shop. What's it called? I never can remember the name of that place. We've been there so many times. Sunset Teas and Hattery. The Hattery place is on the top, on the ground floor on top. And then there's a basement. You can walk downstairs, and they have a candy store down there, which is pretty awesome. I mean, they've got a lot of candies that, you know, stuff I haven't seen since I was a kid. And some of my favorite candies when I was a kid. And it's just amazing. And they also do some tastings for hot sauces. They have their hot sauces down there, and you can go down there and do tastings for that. And they have they have ice cream and things like that downstairs. But that's where I picked up this wine bar, this Chardonnay wine bar. Now, supposedly, this is white chocolate. That's what it says it is. But then in this next sentence, I'm going to read this again because this is a little bit odd. Traditional European white chocolate paired with a blend of classic wine flavors that have stood the test of time. That's the first sentence. Here's the second sentence. This wine bar creates a true synergy between the wine and deep, rich, dark chocolate in both flavor and texture that make this bar slightly sinful. Okay, now I'm really curious about, we're going to open this. I'm really curious about what's in this package. Is it, because the first sentence they say it's white chocolate, the second sentence says deep, rich, dark chocolate. So which is it? Is it white chocolate or dark chocolate? I don't know. So we're going to try this. And you know what? Chocolate goes good with wine. Some wines. I don't know about this one, but some wines, it goes actually pretty good. Chocolate and wine. Chocolate and wine is a pretty decent combination in some situations. So we're going to find out about this one. What we're going to open, in honor of my sister Gina's birthday, since I don't have a cake, we're going to open. I still have the happy birthday thing up there. I should just leave it up there. I'm just going to leave that up there. Okay. Let me take this down for just a minute because I don't want to embarrass my sister. I know that I have embarrassed you enough over the years, especially when we were kids. I'm sure I've embarrassed you enough. I don't want to overdo this. I probably already have. Okay, I'm not sure how to open this, but I'll use my teeth. I've already been to the dentist once last month, and it was, I've got to go back again, and I don't want to have to go back for a chipped tooth, so let's see if I can find another way to open this. Surely there's a way to open this bar. I don't have a pair of... No, I'm not putting up the hamburger this time. I'm not going to do the hamburger thing this time. Traditionally, what happens is if I forget my wine glass and I have to go downstairs and get my wine glass, I'll throw up a photo of a hamburger while I'm gone to give everybody something to look at. But I could go run over there and grab my scissors across the studio. I have, on the other side of the studio, I have a pair of scissors I can use, but I'm not going to do that. Well, maybe I might. If I can't get this bar open. There's got to be a way to open this thing. What is it? Well, this is fun. All right. Well, they didn't make it easy to open. You know, it's funny. I could smell the chocolate, so I must have made a break somewhere. Maybe I made a micro break somewhere in this package. Okay. Don't ask what I'm doing, folks. Come on. All right. It wouldn't open. Okay, so I'm going to have to be forced to go grab the scissors. I don't want to do that. Okay, I'm going to lose my teeth. Don't tell my dentist, please. Okay, so it is... Look at that, folks. It is white chocolate. This wine bar Chardonnay is white chocolate. Unless it's white on the outside and deep charcoal on the inside. Oh. Okay, now it smells nice. And look at that, it's white chocolate all the way through. Now, is it white chocolate because it's supposed to be Chardonnay? And of course, Chardonnay, you know, you think of a Chardonnay as a white, it is, it's a white wine. Chardonnay is a white, buttery kind of wine. Very kind of a buttery, flavored wine. And a good Chardonnay is, anyway. Let's find out if this tastes like Chardonnay. This should be good. Okay, it's not bad. It's not bad. It tastes interesting. I like it. It tastes like white chocolate. Okay. I've had four bites of this. And so far, I taste a lot of white chocolate. But I can't say that I taste any Chardonnay. I know what a Chardonnay tastes like. I've had quite a bit of it in my lifetime. And it's not my favorite wine, by the way. It's okay. I'll drink a Chardonnay. I prefer the reds, but if white is all there is, if there's going to be a white, I prefer either a Pinot Grigio or a Chardonnay. I'm not particularly fond of some of the other whites, but Chardonnay is one that I will drink. See if it goes good with this wine. Actually, you know what? This is really strange, but this it doesn't taste bad with the wine, to be honest. And that I'm telling you, that's it's odd. It's really strange, but it's it doesn't taste bad with the wine. Now I'll be on a sugar rush because, you know, all the wine converts to sugar, and then this thing, however much sugar. How much sugar is in here, by the way? I can tell you what's in it. Now, let's read the ingredients. We have white chocolate. No big surprise there. Sugar, which is the second ingredient in there. So that's, that's in parentheses. So that's what the white chocolate consists of. Sugar, vegetable oil, whey, cocoa, non-fat milk, mono and diglycerides, sunflower and or soya lecithin. Sunflower and or soya lecithin. Okay. Artificial color, titanium dioxide. I don't know how bad that is for you. It can't be good. Titanium dioxide. Natural and artificial flavors and vanilla. And vanilla. Raspberries. Raspberries? There are raspberries in this thing. Who knew? Raspberries. White chocolate, raspberries. Okay. Sugar. Pectin. Sugar's in there twice. Sugar and sugar. Sugar is in you know, sugar, comma, so it's not like sugar pectin. It's sugar and pectin. Dextrose. That's in parentheses. Pectin, dextrose. Which is more sugar. Dextrose, sugar. Corn syrup, which is basically more sugar. High fructose corn syrup, which is more sugar, which is bad sugar. That's bad for you. high fructose corn syrup. You're not really supposed to eat stuff with high fructose corn. There's so much stuff out there that has high fructose corn syrup in it, but really, it's really bad for you, actually, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of other dietitians. Well, I'm not a dietitian, but in the opinion of a lot of dietitians out there, it is bad for you. So we've got fructose corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, vanilla, and salt. So we got the salt in there somewhere. Cream, butter, which consists of milk and salt. But we knew that because butter usually has milk and salt in it. So we have ingredients: white chocolate, which is sugar, vegetable oils, whey, cocoa, non-fat milk, mono and diglycerides, sunflower and or soy lecithin, artificial color, titanium dioxide, natural and artificial flavors, and vanilla, raspberry, sugar, pectin, dextrose, corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, vanilla, salt, cream, butter, milk, and salt. That's sugar, 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 sugar. And I better put this down right now because that's just way too much sugar. And I'm not even supposed to be eating all this sugar. I've been trying to lose weight. That's why I'm not losing weight, because I'm eating crap like this. And guess what, folks? Guess what? This Chardonnay wine bar from Blowing Rock, which is, by the way, it says down at the bottom in little small type, private reserve. It sounds like a wine, right? The Private Reserve, which I'll have some more of. This wine bar, get ready for it, does not contain alcohol. Chardonnay wine bar, and there's no Chardonnay. So, it does contain milk and soy, but we knew that. Knew that from the get-go. You have to figure that if it's a block of white chocolate. But it does not contain alcohol. No alcohol. Zero. None. Not a zilch. Not a bit of alcohol. And it's a Chardonnay in name only. So there you go. There's the Chardonnay wine bar. That's for... Gina, I should have sent you one of these. That would have been fun. For your birthday. Put a candle on it or something. I don't know. It would have been fun. Yeah. You don't want to eat this stuff. I shouldn't. And I got a whole bar to eat. And I spent $6 on it. So $5.99 plus tax, whatever the tax is. Actually, it's, you know what it says? It says $5.96. No, it's $5.96 or $5.98. It's $6. Spend $6 on a bar of Chardonnay that's not Chardonnay, and that's mostly sugar, 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 and sugar, plus artificial sugar and more sugar. So, lesson learned. Anyway, Chi has joined us in the chat, my lovely wife Chi. Hi, Chi, how you doing? And I'll be with you shortly, because I think this wine stream has kind of probably run its course for the evening. I don't know if Gina's still with us, but I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Wait a minute. So what time we start this? 11, 12, 30? Yeah, it's about time, probably. To be honest, I really hate to shut these streams down at the end of the evening. I hate to close these things. That's why the last one ran so long. It ran almost 2 hours. Because I really enjoy doing this. I have gotten on a kick. This was actually just a one-time. It was intended as a one-time experiment in tasting a wine. And it's turned into a three-month tour. It's turned into I've developed a passion for this wine stream. It's been a lot of fun. I enjoy it. as I said before, when it stops being fun, I'll stop doing it. But for right now, I'm having a great time. I hope you're having a great time. You're watching this now or later, whenever you're watching it. And I know I ramble on a lot. And I've probably provided a lot more of my personal life than I probably should have. But this has been an experiment in streaming. And as long as I enjoy doing it, I'll keep doing it. When it stops being fun, I'll stop doing the stream. But for right now, I'm having a good time. And you know what? Maybe I am making a fool of myself in front of tens of people. I don't know who's watching this thing now, but you know, it's just me, and I don't care. I'm not here to. And once again, when I was a kid, I was concerned about popularity, as a lot of kids are. I didn't want to be popular. I just wanted to be accepted. That's all. I just wanted to be accepted. But as I've grown older, and I don't know, I can't say I'm any wiser, but because I've made a lot of mistakes throughout my life. But as I've grown older and learned a lot of things about life, and I continue to learn things every day, as I've grown older, I've learned that none of that stuff's important. It really isn't. The things that are important is to live your life, to be good to other people, to fulfill your destiny. And once again, I don't get into politics and religion stuff, so I'm not going to go into all that stuff, but whatever you feel your destiny is. But mostly to just love each other. And I mean that in the sense of loving one another. Love your enemies. Love your friends. You know, be true to yourself. Be true to other people. Be true to your spouses. Be true to your families. And just take good care of each other. Just be good to each other. As Bill and Ted would say, you know, be excellent to each other. We don't have enough of that in this world. And I think we have less of it now than ever before, really. I mean, I know that throughout our history, as mankind, it's been a very tumultuous journey, and it seems like sometimes have been very dark, some darker than others. But I think we're kind of going through a dark time now where you look around and you see, at least in this country, where you see so many people that are so polarized, and you've seen that a lot of love has been lost between friends, between families, between relatives, between countries, whole countries. And I don't think that was what was intended in the first place. I don't think that's what life is supposed to be. I don't think that's what life is supposed to be about at all. And I think if we can do whatever we can to bring more people together, I think that's a good thing. I think wine can bring people together, used in moderation and used listen to me. I'm sitting here closing this out and I'm drinking through this. But this is good wine. But yeah, wine can bring people together. And I think, in any case, a good meal. And what, you know, throughout history, oftentimes that's what's brought people together is a good meal and fine wine to bring enemies and adversaries to the table to share a meal, to enjoy a meal, and enjoy a fine wine and other libations and to enjoy each other's company and leave friends instead of as enemies. And I think we've lost a lot of that that sense of civility through the last few years, especially. We've lost that sense of civility with each other, especially in this country, in the United States, where we're supposed to be united. We're supposed to be a one people. No matter what your culture is, your background, your religion, your political view, your cultural view, we're all supposed to be one country, one people, united together with one common purpose, and that is freedom and the love for freedom and the love for countrymen, the love for family and the love for individuals, one another. And when you start to lose that, I think that you start to lose your identity. I think you start to lose you lose your morality, you lose your ethics, you lose, I think you lose yourself. So I think what I'm trying to say here is that instead of trying to be divisive, I think we should really try to find more common ground, to do things that are and to behave in a way and to treat other people with some more respect and to really try to be good to each other. My fear for this country and for this world is that we're going to tear ourselves apart. We're going to tear ourselves apart as a nation. We're going to tear ourselves apart as a world. But it doesn't have to be that way. I think that if you can find a common purpose, if you can find the good in each other, you can find, especially if you can just find the good in each other, you can find a way to bond and to be, you know, to really, I don't know. I'm just concerned with how things are going. I've seen so much discord lately that it really, really bothers me. And I really would like to see everyone, especially as we're streaming on Facebook, I'd like to see everyone talk to each other and not at each other. And I think for this Memorial Day, as I close here on this wine stream, and of course, it's my sister's birthday, and trying to bring this around full circle, as I was talking before about the disparity between the ostracizing that I experienced when I was a kid, and my sister's popularity, that happened with two people in the same family, And the I forgot where I was going with this. The wine's kicking in. And the fact that we're approaching Memorial Day, where we're supposed to be observing a time when we're observing those who lost their lives for our country, to preserve our way of life and to preserve freedom and to preserve, basically to protect all of us living today. And how a lot of us have forgotten that and are really busy, more concerned about what we're going to do for the holiday and the cookouts and the Memorial Day sales and that sort of thing, than really reflecting on the sacrifices that these people made. And I think that, to bring this all full circle, I think that what it comes down to is if we're all thinking about each other instead of thinking about ourselves, thinking about those who've lost their lives for us, instead of thinking about our, you know, what we're doing, what we're having, what we're enjoying on this day, I think that it will maybe bring us all a little bit closer together. If we're all united in that sense, I think it could bring us all together, closer together as a country, as a family, as a country, as a world. I think that's really what I'm trying to say. Anyway, I'm rambling on. Of course, the wine is kicking in. And of course, I think for those of you who wanted to just see me get drunk and make a fool of myself, I think I'm probably already there. But man, this is good wine. Once again, this is 1448. This is California Red Table Wine. From Jeff Rundquist, and I highly recommend this wine. It goes from between $15 to $20 a bottle. I got it for $15. You can get it for $15 at the wine store. At wine store, what is that? Wine store-online.com. You can also get it, I think, at the Total Wine, totalwine.com. You can pick it up a couple of other places. I think, I don't know who else has it. I think probably you can get it directly from Jeff Rundquistwines.com. I think Vivino.com did something on it. And Wine.com, I think you can get it. They have some information on it there. Anyway. It's getting late, and I've had too much of this already, as you can tell. But it was a very enjoyable wine, and I hope you enjoyed this wine stream. Sorry for rambling on so much, but no, I'm not. I had a great time. Anyway, I hate to hit this stop button, but I'm going to have to do it, and I'll see you all next week. We will try. I'll tell you what we'll do. I think we'll open up the Frico wine. Unless I find something else, as I always say, unless I find something else, and I might, if I find something else better, then I'll open that. But unless I find something else, I will open up the Frico wine, and we will try that out and see how it is. I know my wife bought a bottle of Chianti that I am interested in trying out. But I don't know if I'm going to do it on the wine stream. I might just have that instead for Memorial Day. But we're going to try something. In any case, it's going to be, hopefully it'll be good. And I'll see y'all next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And we'll all get together and drink with Rick. Good night, everybody.